On the line with us right now is a WTMA morning guy from the mid-80s, Jay Donovan. Jay, when exactly were you at WTMA?
Got down there at the beginning of March, 1985, and was there till probably about that time in 86. And then I had the good fortune to do, you know, at this time, WSSX FM was in the same building. So just walked up the hallway and had a chance to do mornings there for a year.
Okay, so you were in Charleston for 2 years total.
Yep.
And where exactly were you before you came to WTMA?
I had spent 3 or 4 years in Watertown, which is where I am again, Watertown, New York. You know, one of those, the way it is in the business, somebody knows you that knows the people in Charleston, and they were looking for a morning guy down there at TMA and gave the management at the time my name, and we got together. And that's how we wound up leaving the frozen north country of New York and down into a much warmer and humid place in Charleston, South Carolina for a couple of years.
And who was the program director at the time?
Steve King was calling the shots. I can't really tell you how long Steve had been there before I got there, but he was in place, and Bob Winters was the GM at the time. So I worked for Steve. Good guy.
All right. What was WTMA like on the air when you got here? Was it still doing the AC format?
Yeah, we were still doing adult contemporary stuff, you know, the not too hard, not too soft kind of thing, and playing a lot of music. But, also had kind of a full-service bent to it, at least in the morning, where we had news on about every hour, top of the hour kind of thing. The gentleman I worked with then was Warren Ashmore. We were basically kind of a traditional adult contemporary.
And what was the Jay Donovan show like on WTMA?
You know, I think within the context of doing a lot of music, it was certainly personality. It wasn't just reading liners. We had our personality elements. I would interact with Warren around newscasts. We used product from the American Comedy Network around the breaks. So, you know, 3 or 4 times an hour, whenever it was, we would interject the personality, and then the rest of the time we were just kind of keeping the music going.
All right, and you went to WSSX. How did that all work out?
At the time, we had a gentleman doing mornings on SX, Bill Jordan, who's, I think, still up in Raleigh-Durham area. Bill had left. They were looking for a morning guy. I was in the building and, you know, said, hey, geez, I'd like to do it. And one of the selling points was I did suggest to the GM at the time that the fact that I was in the building and he wouldn't have to pay moving expenses to anybody. I don't know how much of a push that was, but Bob was good enough to say, okay, you go ahead and you can do mornings over there.
And not Brian Phillips was the program director of 95SX, right, at the time?
Yeah, and remember, this is like mid-80s, so it was Brian Miami Phillips. And I can remember we had a Miami Vice night at least once a week with one of the places in downtown on the peninsula. That was always a good time.
What was Brian like to work for as a partner and as a program director?
Nice guy, a little intense. The thing that stuck out with me was that worked mornings. I handled the nuts and bolts of getting the songs on and doing things. But he would go for 2 or 3 songs while we were on the air. And we would be getting ready to stop down to do a break. And therefore, that would be one of our personality elements. And just before the song would end, the door would go flying open into that studio we had for SX at the time, a very small one, and it would slam up against the car rack, and he'd go, okay, so what you got that's funny? What do you got? What do you got? And then he'd get over towards his position and would just totally throw me. And he used to do that fairly frequently. Maybe that was his technique. I'm not sure. But that's what I remember about Brian.
Now, was he there the entire time that you were there at SX?
Yeah, I think just towards the end, just before I left in March of 87 to come back up north, he had left maybe a little bit before that. He had gone to program station back up north.
What kind of studio facilities did WTMA have at that time? And maybe talk a little bit about the Orange Grove Road Studios.
It was an interesting series of boxes they'd seemed to put together over the years, you know, growing as they needed to make more room. The TMA studios, when I worked there, were in kind of in the back of the building. We were surrounded by the transmitters. We had the 100,000-watt transmitter for SX around us and our 5,000-watt we had for TMA. But it kind of a traditional radio studio, and it was, you know, stand-up. The one unique thing was that they had dual control boards in there, which I think went back to the era when they had the morning crew and their CJ and Buzz. You had facing control boards, and they were the old rotary pot types, and cart machines, and kind of a traditional old studio that you might have found in 85. It wasn't exactly high-tech. It was an interesting place. I always thought I could never have kids, because every time I'd walk down the hallway to go into the studio, there was all that RF from the SX transmitter and from the TMA transmitter. I thought I kept cooking the wigglers, you know. I was never going to have kids because of that. The view out of the TMA studio was, well, you could kind of look out in the parking lot and down Orange Grove Road, as I remember correctly. And out of SX, all you could look out was out into the swamp. I think you could see one of the towers or something, but that was about it. A little limited down there. We were doing music on an AM in an era when AMs were phasing out music and looking for what would eventually become the Limbaughs and the Dr. Laura kind of programming that a lot of them would carry. So there wasn't a lot of great ratings news you know, you'd kind of compare yourself with the other AMs in the market to see how you were doing. We'd get a rating book at the end of the spring or something for TMA in 85 and want to compare yourself positively to an SX or to the top country station at the time. I think there's a couple of FMs in Charleston at the time playing adult contemporary. So it was tough to compare yourself that way. I always liked the market. You know, I'll tell you, having come from an area and obviously still here now where we get, you know, feet and feet of snow every year, watching the reaction in Charleston, I can remember the one day out of 2 years we actually had snow on the ground. The grass got white for about 2 hours one morning, and they were closing things down like crazy, and it was always a joke to watch it rain and see the traffic conditions on the bridges because folks wouldn't slow down. But, you know, the snow melted. It was there at 8 in the morning and gone at 10, but it was like end of the world kind of stuff. And up here, of course, you know, we see that and we call it a dusting and nobody slows down.
So you mentioned leaving. Where'd you go after you left 95SX in Charleston?
I came back to Watertown, had an opportunity to work for a really great company at the time that actually owned the station that I had left a couple of years before it went south, and came back up here to program and to do mornings for them.
And you've been there ever since, huh?
I have been through a couple of sales. I'm no longer on the AM. I never left radio. I mean, I still do mornings on what's now Classic Hits FM up here in Watertown, C93. But really what I started to do shortly after I got back to Watertown in the very late 80s was I moved over to television full-time doing weather, took coursework, got my broadcast seal, that kind of thing. So I've worked for the CBS affiliate up here doing weather for about 11 years. I did that, and then I switched back in the fall of 2000 to the ABC affiliate up here doing weather. It was a great opportunity to come to Charleston, and I, at the time, really wanted to work for Sconics, who owned the place, and we got sold fairly quickly after I got down there, but it was a great learning experience. You know, they forced you to do things there, you know, as you would expect in a bigger market than where I'd come from. They paid a lot more attention to what you did, and you learned a lot of stuff, and then when I moved over to SX, and, you know, they weren't going to be happy with you being mid-pack in the morning. It was a great learning experience. And, you know, geez, it's tough to beat Charleston with the way it looks. You know, the history of the city and all. It is an absolutely beautiful place. So you can work a lot of cities that are pretty dumpy, but Charleston is just a gorgeous area.